This is Truth Frequency Radio.
The Wicked Ones, obviously under heavy Masonic influence.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for tuning in once again. It is the 23rd of February. It is Monday. We'll just blow right by it. Won't even talk about the fact that it's Monday. Hope you guys are warm wherever you are. Oh my God, it's cold outside. I am over this. I thought we were going to get through unscathed this year. I mean, it's a week away from March. That is typical springtime in Missouri. And I'll tell you what, they are talking about more cold weather coming down. Another one of these Siberian polar vortexes hitting the northeast and the Midwest, upper Midwest right now. I'll tell you, I can't even imagine if you were up in Minnesota or Michigan how awful it must be. But I don't really have to imagine because it's pretty awful here. Anyway, I hope you guys are warm, huddled around the soft glow of your computer screens right now. Cannot thank you guys enough for taking the time out. Join us again for the Red Pills Reports radio broadcast. As I said, today is the 23rd day of February. We are zooming through the year here pretty darn quick. Somebody, poet, says it's 2 degrees where you are. We're at -6 with the wind chill right now outside. I'm over New York, over wind chill. I'm over winter. We had that one snow. That was plenty. It can all go away now. I'm ready for some sunshine. So anyway, hope you guys are doing well out there. Appreciate you guys tuning in today. Lots and lots of news to go over. It's going to be another big week. We had a huge week of guests last week, and this week will not be any different. Today, right off the bat, we're going to start with a pretty high watermark. Clint Richardson is going to be joining us. Now, he does a show over on Republic Broadcasting every day from 6 until 8 Central Time, and he is essentially a gentleman who woke up to the corporate structure of the government and realized that that really had a lot of ramifications on each of our lives as well, and is just one of these gentlemen out there that really has delved into the straw man thing, the sovereign thing, the corporate government thing, and he's got some really good insight on exactly what's going on. And what I like about Clint is that he's been involved with the research for quite a long time, and as any of you guys know out there who have delved into these topics, the learning curve can be pretty severe. It takes a long time to really get your head around things, and there's a lot of bad information out there. And plus, at the same time, you're dealing with law, which is, you know, fundamentally in our country, it's all case law. So things change. It's not a rigid system. It's an ebb and a flow. And anyway, so Clint's done a lot of research into that. We definitely look forward to talking to him in about an hour from now. And I know there are a lot of guys out there who are really interested in strawman redemption and sovereignty, and he's got some pretty interesting insight into the movie The Matrix too, and probably not in the way that a lot of us think he would be going. The direction he's going to go in with The Matrix is a lot different, and anyway, that should be really interesting, so definitely stick around for that. Dr. Deagle is going to be on the show tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about, I don't know if you guys remember or not, but there was this nuclear power plant in Japan, the Halo earthquake. And then it was spooging out, nuclear tainted water into the ocean it's still going on right now. And it's not getting any better. Obviously, everything must be fine because we don't talk about it in the news every day. But, I think Dr. Deagle has some new insight into what is going on in Fukushima. So, definitely looking forward to him tomorrow. Jamie Hanshaw, feeling better. She'll be joining us on Wednesday. I'd like to have a discussion about the Disney organization and how evil they are, because there are still people out there that, despite all my warnings, let their kids watch Disney presentations, and I just can't get behind that. Wolfgang Halbig joining us on Thursday. Be talking about, obviously the Sandy Hook situation. He also has some new insight There's been some new developments in the Sandy Hook situation. Obviously, all the laws that are being passed trying to strip off us our gun rights stem from this particular incident. So it's important that we keep that in the news cycle and we keep talking about it because, well, a lot of us are of the opinion that it didn't happen, ladies and gentlemen. And I know Wolfgang's of that opinion. I'm certainly of that opinion after following his research for the last year and a half now. So we'll definitely be looking forward to that discussion. And then Michael Cremo is going to be joining us on Friday, the forbidden archaeologist. We'll be talking about Darwinism and, well, just all kinds of crazy stuff. It'll be a really interesting kind of out there show on Friday. So that's what's going on there. Lots of people already hanging out in the chat room this morning. Love seeing all of you kids in there. It's so nice to have some real live feedback going on. Appreciate all you guys who make it a point to be in there every single day. Eric's in there, Poets in there, Lex Luthor, Woods in there, Obsidian's in there, Robert's Girl's in there, and there's some new person in there, more Imka. I don't know who that is, but happy to have you on board out there in Radio Land. Also appreciate you guys supporting the website, redpillreports.com. If you guys are a new listener, you can always go to redpillreports.com. Right at the top of the page is always going to be a show section there. You can find out more about the guest from today and what's going on with that, and also there's always going to be a big aggregated list of news there, so if you're curious about what's going on in the world, that's kind of a one-stop shopping source for your daily dose of deprogramming, kind of the whole point behind Red Pill, give you guys easy access to all the real big stories that are going on around the world in your neck of the woods. So that's what's going on there, and any support that you can show for the page, showing it off to your friends and family, or any support that you can throw the network at Truth Frequency, I'm sure all the other hosts would appreciate it. Man, it's just a great family of hosts here at Truth Frequency. I just love, love, love it. Tell you what, I was in the chat room Saturday night because I wanted to sneak in and listen to Phoenix Rising Radio. I really like that show. He does a lot of stuff economically that a lot of people aren't even going to touch. And I was just kind of hanging out in the chat room, real full chat room, and he called me out right on air, and it was just super cool. You know, it's super cool that people, everybody pays attention to what's going on with the other hosts, and we're all, you know, in this together, ladies and gentlemen. So the whole concept behind Truth Frequency, I know Chris and Cherie really adamant about sharing guests and sharing information and just trying to grow the whole network as a whole. And so for you guys who are tuning into Red Pill Reports every day, there's a lot of great shows you guys might be missing on Truth Frequency. So do check out some of the other ones and continue to tune into our show. And we'll continue to bring you guys as much as we can regarding the news and also all kinds of interesting information from good guests. But I know there's a lot of people out there right now that are interested in the straw man redemption thing. What's it all about? What, you know, are sovereign citizens really the terrorist threat? There's a new article coming out today from the Department of Homeland Security saying, again, we're going to need to revise this whole domestic terrorist task force because of the sovereign citizens that they think are just as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than ISIS. So anyway, we're going to have a really big discussion about all that stuff with Clint today, and it should be very interesting. So again, appreciate you guys all being here. We're going to jump over into the international news right now because there is, again, a lot of stuff going on in the world. Probably most importantly, or at least as, you know, the most important thing that the bigwigs want us thinking about is this situation in Greece, right? They basically had until tomorrow to come up with some kind of agreement between the new, you know, government in Greece and the Eurozone financiers, the Troika, the IMF, and all these people. And so news broke late on Friday that the Eurozone finance ministers had reached an agreement to extend Greece's financial rescue program by about 4 months. So we're pushing it out to about April. At first, they were looking for a 6-month extension, and the EU said no, but we'll let you do 4, okay? But, so everybody freaked out. Friday, this kind of broke. Friday, everybody freaked out. Gold went down because obviously Greece was saved. The markets went up. Everybody's happy, blah, blah, blah. But hold on to your hats here, ladies and gentlemen, because again, what a difference a weekend can make. Financial Times of London this morning is saying, yeah, not so fast here, guys. We still, as of this morning, the Greek government right now still has to submit all these proposals. They've got to submit reform proposals written out to the EU in Athens, and then they're going to have to decide to whether or not they're going to move forward on this 4-month deal. So we're not out of the woods yet by any stretch of the imagination. I thought at first when I read that article Friday, I thought, well, man, Rick Rozoff is right. If that guy ever, you know, says, hey, I'll bet you $5, first answer, no, just no, the guy's right. You know what I mean? So, cause he said, Thursday last week or Wednesday last week, whenever he was on, that, Greece was probably not going to leave the euro, probably going to, cower to the demands of the EU. And, that's essentially what it looked like was going on Friday. So anyway, flash forward to today. A draft of the reform measures has been submitted ahead of the formal evaluation. There's going to be a formal evaluation of these draft proposals by Greece, right? So, and these are going to be done by the bailout monitors who will continue, who will determine whether a tentative agreement to extend the $172 billion rescue until June can proceed. So again, not out of the woods yet on this whole Greece issue. The European markets reacted pretty positively to the 11th hour deal in trading on Monday, with Greece 3-year borrowing costs falling 219 basis points, and the country's stock market was closed for a holiday, so bank holiday today there in Greece and across the EU. Always important to pay attention when the banking holidays are going on. But anyway, Monday's evaluation by the European Commission, the European Central Bank, and the International Monetary Fund, previously known as the Troika, was one of the most important conditions attached to Friday's deal. Okay, so that deal that happened on Friday, again, one of the most important conditions is that there will be an evaluation of those reform proposals from Greece today by the Troika. So again, if the EU and the IMF does not approve the Greek measures as quote-unquote sufficiently comprehensive to be valid starting point for completing the current bailout, Eurozone officials have agreed that another Brussels meeting of finance ministers will be needed on Tuesday, and without approval, Greece's EU bailout will expire on Saturday. So that's where we're at right now. And on Monday, the German finance ministry said it wanted to list, it wanted its list of these proposals. This is what the German finance ministry wants. They want this list to be coherent and plausible. And it cautioned that the submission was only an initial list and that it in turn needed to be made way more detailed by, April, you know, in order for this proposal to stick. So the Financial Times of London this morning is reporting that the financial minister of Greece having a little trouble getting all of his ducks in a row this morning, having trouble getting all of these proposals to the EU in a timely fashion. So again, Greece is now expected to send a more detailed submission later today. But again, right now, there's a lot of concerns that the plan from the finance minister there could run into some resistance. Eurozone officials have been complaining for weeks that the finance minister reform proposals were not sufficiently detailed and had not come with estimates on how much they would affect the economy or government budgeting. And officials who have seen the weekend submission from Athens have also indicated that right now it is still similarly vague. So at the weekend, Tsipras, who's the Greek's new prime minister there, he portrayed Friday's agreement as leaving austerity, the bailouts, and the Troika behind. But is that actually what is going on? That's where we're at right now. So I think that the situation in Greece has not been resolved. As much as everybody would like to believe it and the way the markets are reacting, you would think that it has been resolved. But it does not look like it has yet. Okay, so moving on here. Sorry, I'm bouncing back and forth between chat rooms as well, guys. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of chatter going on today. Appreciate you guys being in the chat room so early on a Monday, too. There's been an arrest that happened in Caracas, down in Venezuela. They abruptly arrested the mayor of Caracas on accusations that he had plotted an American-backed overthrow of the government, right, threatening to plunge Venezuela into new political convulsions. And this all happened on Friday. And now the mayor of Caracas, his supporters, rallied in the capital and pockets to protest his arrest. So the arrest of the mayor, his name is Antonio Ledezma. On Thursday evening, by intelligence agents who were shooting weapons in the air, apparently, was viewed by the opposition as a kidnapping of a political rival to President Maduro. Very interesting stuff going on in Venezuela right now. Now, Mr. Ledezma, his backers called it another assault on democracy in Venezuela, which is obviously the oil-endowed nation that has been reeling from a severe economic decline after or under the watch of an increasingly unpopular president at this point. Mr. Maduro, the protege of Venezuela's longtime leader Hugo Chavez, often castigates the United States, accusing it of trying to topple its government. And he promised in a nearly 3-hour speech soon after the mayor's arrest to release evidence to demonstrate what he called the secret American plot to topple him. Wow. What do you think? Because to me, it seems like we've done a pretty good job of destabilizing the government. Usually we go in, we try and destabilize the government because they have resources that we want. I don't know what resources Venezuela could possibly have that we might be interested, given the fact that 80% of their economy is oil-driven. So we've gone in, we destabilized the government, we've encouraged the uprising of popular movements, and it hasn't really taken hold because Maduro's still in power, and he's obviously being well-guarded. So now plan B, or plan C, I guess, or the conclusion of the initial plan, destabilizing, and then you overthrow. So do they have evidence of a supposed American coup to try and overthrow the Venezuelan government? It would not surprise me in any way, shape, or form if that was true. So we'll see what happens with Maduro coming out later this week with all of this evidence. But still political turmoil, to say the least, going on in Venezuela right now. Okay. Also, some news out of Nigeria. We're kind of just bouncing around the globe right now, but we are going to go over into the Ukraine as well, because there have been more developments there. But Nigerian forces, backed by airstrikes, seized the northeastern town of Baga from Islamist group Boko Haram on Saturday, which is a very significant victory in the offensive against an insurgency affecting four different African states there. So in a statement minutes earlier, who is this guy? He is the major general of the defense. I can't even tell you. Major general of Baga, apparently. So this gentleman minutes earlier, before this ginormous airstrike, said that a large number of terrorists had drowned in Lake Chad, which doesn't make any sense to me at all. But Baga is at Nigeria's border with Chad, Niger, and Cameroon, and it was the headquarters of a multinational force comprising troops from all four countries. Its recapture was an important victory and one of several key victories in the past couple of weeks. So again, things turning around a little bit in Nigeria in terms of Boko Haram. So there's more good news in that respect if you buy into the entire ISIS Boko Haram theater, which some people do. So there you go. Authorities in the Maldives actually arrested their former president over the weekend and current opposition leader Mohamed Nasheed. They did this on Sunday. They ordered him to stand trial for his decision in 2012. People who are either opposition to who is in charge right now. It just seems really, and there's a lot of political turmoil going on around the world. The arrest of a judge who was in fact a key ally of one of his opponents. So now he's been arrested because of that arrest. So again, we just see this political back and forth going on. Let's see here. So that's what's happening there in the Maldives as well. Does that have anything to do with NATO unrest in the Balkans? I would think so. Mexico City, here's a story coming out of Mexico right now. Coca-Cola's largest bottler in Mexico has temporarily suspended operations in the capital of the embattled state of Guerrero following attacks on its workers and its trucks. So a spokesman for the Coca-Cola FEMSA is being evaluated. So currently right now, Coca-Cola, big bottling plant there in Mexico City, is not necessarily shut down for good, but they are temporarily shut down. So not sure what's going on there. Oh, we're having some audio issues. We can get that dealt with. I apologize. Sometimes we have some good times with the I don't see, people are saying it's in and out, but it's not me. I'm not screwing. Are you screwing with me? What's going on out there, guys? Oh my gosh. Okay. I don't know what's happening. We're just going to keep talking about the news because there's lots of stuff. Okay. More news also coming out of the, Israeli-Palestinian conflict right now. The Palestinian president has threatened to stop security coordination with Israel if the country continues to withhold millions of dollars in Palestinian tax revenue, according to a senior Palestinian official. He said this on Sunday. Nabil Shaaf said that President Mohammed Abbas warned European leaders on a trip to Europe last week that Palestinian officials would discuss the matter during a Palestinian Central Council meeting this week. So they basically told the international community that they're not going to continue with the security coordination, and the Palestinian Authority itself may not even be able to continue functioning if Israel continues stealing their money, which does make sense. Israel has withheld tax revenue from Palestinians since they joined the International Criminal Court last month, and Schatz said that the withheld revenue amounts to about $140 million a month. And tax revenue actually accounts for about 70% of the Palestinians' budget. So the withheld revenue has led to the cash-strapped Palestinian government taking out bank loans. And in the last 2 months, it's only been able to pay partial salaries for civil servants. So again, question right now about whether or not Palestine will even be able to continue with any type of government there as Israel continues to withhold funds from them. Obviously, Israel trying to put pressure on them after they decided to join the International Criminal Court, looking for charges against Israel for war crimes in the war that went down in Gaza over the summer, in which it does seem pretty likely that Israel was targeting civilian sites. And so that's what's going on right now. So the conflict there still getting worse and worse. John Kerry actually said right now that without a cash injection, the Palestinian Authority could collapse, which would entail serious security implications for both Palestinians and Israelis. So John Kerry talking now about a cash infusion going to the Palestinians there. I wonder what kind of strings that would come with. We put these people in these situations where they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You're looking at, you know, a situation where there's no medical supplies, there's no food, there's nothing, there's no power, right? And so either we're going to bail them out with some kind of strings attached, or they're not going to get bailed out, and they're going to, and we're going to see what limited legitimacy the Palestinian government actually has completely crumble. And I think that's the goal here. That's the goal. Okay, moving on. Also, let's talk a little bit about Ukraine right now. Ukraine's deputy foreign minister came out pretty directly over the weekend, and he says he doesn't, we don't want to scare anybody right now, but we are preparing for full scale war. That's what he said. He said that to CBC News during a pretty stunning interview. He also said that what we expect from the world is that the world will stiffen up in the spine a little bit. He also demanded that the West provide lethal weapons. He says everyone is afraid of fighting with a nuclear state, but we are not anymore. These are pretty substantially profound statements coming from Ukraine's deputy foreign minister, right? I mean, he's saying we're not afraid of fighting a nuclear state. Okay, that's because you guys have bunkers and you're sending poor people's kids off to fight these battles for you, ignorant. Anyway, he also says we would like the West to send lethal weapons to Ukraine and weapons that would allow us to defend ourselves. So again, the people that we put in power in the Ukraine obviously hedging on the side of full-scale war. That's literally the language that he is using right now. There was a deadly bomb blast that hit Kharkiv over the weekend. Also, a bomb went off, killed at least two people, including a police officer in Ukraine's second-largest city, Kharkiv. Went off at a rally that was one of several being held to mark a year since the Kiev uprising that led to the fall of the pro-Russian leader Yanukovych. Security forces detained four suspects after the attack. Kharkiv lives on the outside of the conflict zone in eastern Ukraine. So this this particular city where this bombing went off has not been, in terms of the conflict zone that's been going on with Lugansk and Donetsk and Debaltseve, has not been inside that zone. So it's kind of a new area right now. So what does that suggest? Is that false flag type activities, you know, happening from the Ukrainian side? Or is it perhaps, I don't understand why there wouldn't be any terrorist motivation for people on the to be left alone. They using terror to try and encourage other cities to follow suit with that doesn't really it doesn't really jive in terms of a motive. So why the separatists, you know, would be doing something like that doesn't make any sense. Now, it would make a lot more sense to me if the Ukraine government was using aggression and bombs and false flag stuff to promote this idea of, instability, because then, of course, we also had that story last week of Poroshenko asking for peacekeepers to come in. So if we have random bombs going off at peaceful rallies, well, then here we go. You know, there's a call for a place where the UN peacekeeping mission can take hold. So I don't know. That's just as I said to Rick last week. I think we're in knee deep in the false flag territory at this point. So just have to see what is going on. The U.S. and its allies right now considering extra sanctions against Moscow. Again, another story breaking over the weekend. still looking at this crisis in the eastern Ukraine. They've been accusing Russia of undermining a European brokered truce between the Kiev and the rebels. But if you look at what's going on there, it doesn't seem as if Russia is doing anything other than, following suit on the Minsk Accord. It's not Russia that has said we need UN peacekeepers in. It was Poroshenko that said that 5 days after this Minsk peace accord was supposed to take effect. You know, oh my gosh, this isn't working well. We've got to get peacekeepers in. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But again, we're ramping up the rhetoric. And then Canada has finally thrown their hat into the ring. They've added Russia. Economic sanctions and travel bans. Canada has been trying for months to resist pressure on taking any further restrictive measures against Russia, despite the fact that it already had sanctions against 80 Russians and Ukrainian officials last year. But last May, the country decided not to impose sanctions against Rosneft and Rostec because it did not want politics to hurt Canada's biggest business projects. What are they talking about? Well, Russia's oil giant Rosneft owns about 30% of an ExxonMobil oil field in the Canadian province. Deposit back in 2012, and the deal became Russia's first Canadian presence, and it was expected to benefit Canada's economy by accelerating resource development. And the Russian state-owned industrial and defense firm Rostec and Canadian plane and train maker Bombardier signed a $3.4 billion deal 2 years ago, and the companies had decided to establish joint venture to produce the Q400 aircraft, which Canada recognizes as a landmark opportunity for the Q400 next-gen aircraft program. The venture intended to build 24 aircraft a year, with some 250 constructed by 2030, but the deal was postponed last year due to the anti-Russian sanctions imposed then by the Canadian government. So again, more sanctions coming down from Canada now, and is Canada shooting themselves in the foot? Because obviously they're going after Rosneft and Rostec, major, major, major business dealers inside of Russia. Just wild stuff. Wild stuff. Anyway, got a 3-minute break, guys. We're going to come back. More news. Clint Richardson joining us in about a half an hour. Thank you guys for being in the chat room. Happy to have you guys all along for the ride. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. Happy Monday, everybody.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark. As ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky, and you realize you are not prepared.
I'm telling you to take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to My Patriot Supply. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Sound Doctor Ministries with Kenneth Emmanuel.
Sundays on True Frequency Radio.
Broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. I disconnected and reconnected, so hopefully the sound will stay consistent for you guys out there. I apologize about that. Sometimes miracle of modern technology just doesn't have all the magic in it that we hope that it will. Appreciate you guys being in the chat room. Appreciate you guys hanging out and listening to the show today. It's always nice to have you guys in the audience. A lot of great regulars out in the chat room right now, and just cannot thank you guys enough. Want to talk about this new intelligence report just came out. I hate calling these things intelligence reports because they just don't seem to be very intelligent right now. But anyway, a new intelligence report came out this weekend, produced by the Department of Homeland Security and the Federal Bureau of Investigations. It's calling attention to an apparent domestic terror threat from, quote unquote, right-wing sovereign citizen extremists. This is according to the wonderful people at CNN. And the report claims that there have been 24 sovereign citizen attacks in the United States since 2010. According to these reports, these extremists believe that they are not bound by the law and they will assert their rights on a regular basis when confronted by police. This could be a traffic stop or refusing to obey court orders. News of the report comes as the Obama administration was holding a 3-day conference analyzing both international and domestic threats from terrorism. And according to the report, some local and federal law enforcement agencies view the threat from the so-called sovereign citizens to be equal or greater to the threat from the Islamic State and similar groups. Unbelievable. Yeah, attacks, exactly. The term sovereign citizen has become a catch-all for those who want to assert their rights and refuse to accept what they see as unjust or immoral orders from police officers or other authorities. And there have been several instances of individuals allegedly calling themselves sovereign, shooting or plotting to kill police officers. The report says that law enforcement officers will remain the primary target of sovereign citizen violence over the next year. I wanted to talk about this article because this is a Ben Swan article. And I tell you what, he does a really good job in this article. So anyway, we're going to continue with this. This latest report comes as Attorney General Eric Holder announced the Justice Department would be reviving a task force on domestic terrorism in an attempt to stop violence within the United States. Last summer, Mr. Holder stated that the Domestic Terrorism Executive Committee would work to eliminate the danger from violent individuals who may not be motivated or may be motivated by anti-government or racist views. The Federal Bureau of Investigations, the National Security Division of the Justice Department, and the Attorney General's Advisory Committee are all in charge of the efforts. The committee was originally launched to focus on right-wing extremists in the aftermath of the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. But as Americans are waking up to the mass surveillance programs and growing police state around the country, many are pursuing knowledge of their rights when dealing with police officers and government officials. Rather than being violent extremists, these are everyday, hardworking Americans who wish to feel safe and secure in their own homes. An increased focus on police violence against unarmed citizens has caused a rift between communities and the quote-unquote authorities. The U.S. government's search for domestic extremists is likely to net innocent individuals who are not pursuing violence, but rather simply attempting to live free of government interference in their lives. And when governments criminalize innocent actions of free people, there will be resistance. When governments propagandize the people to mistrust those who assert their rights, there will also be division. Ultimately, it is up to each of us to communicate with our neighbors and family members so they understand the difference between those pursuing violence and those attempting to live free. I think this is a fantastic article because, it's sort of a mainstream source. I mean, Ben Swan, he's a little fringy, but at the same time, he's a very, you know, notable publication. And, he essentially just throws this right in back in the face of the CIA and the FBI saying, you know, these people, not all of these people are violent extremists. A lot of these people are just people who are waking up to the fact that there is a division, that it's a division that's being encouraged by an agenda, and that that it's not reality. It's not reality. And just waking up to that fact that it's not reality doesn't make you a violent extremist. It does perhaps make you dangerous to someone who thinks they have authority over you. You know, if a police officer shows up in a costume and thinks that they can beat you or tase you over a traffic stop, well, yeah, I'm going to have a problem with that. And I'm going to defend myself because that's what the right that God gave me. And that's not, you know, conjecture. That's nothing other than just you are somebody in a costume who thinks you have the right to attack me. It's not going to go well for you. I hate to say that. I'm not going out of my way to target police officers. You guys go do whatever you want to do. I don't care. We're going to work from the root of the problem, eliminate the need. We're going to start a national conversation about the need for municipal law enforcement in this country, and we'll move us off that system. We'll just completely gut the whole thing and move to voluntary peace officers and elected sheriffs, and then we'll be fine, and you guys won't have to worry about people being violent against you for trying to impose your draconian, ridiculous rules on us. You don't have any authority just because you have a costume on. I can buy that same costume on eBay, $40. Done deal, right? So hate to break it to you, but yeah, if you take a pen and create a criminal via the stroke of a pen, there's going to be resistance. That's what's going to happen, and that's what we're seeing now. And again, Clint Richardson will be joining us in about 25 minutes, and we'll be talking about this stuff in a little bit more depth, guys. So I think you guys will appreciate this conversation today. I want to move on a little bit too and talk about Bill O'Reilly for a second, everybody's favorite news host from Fox. We'll just say this. He's now in the same boat as Brian Williams. So there has, obviously, Brian Williams, there's a lot of revelations about him being, you know, a fibber about being in that helicopter that was hit by RPG fire. Didn't actually happen. And so he's, in the doghouse for another 6 months without pay, which I think is stupid. He should have just been fired. But anyway, Mother Jones has now released a scathing article accusing Bill O'Reilly of lying about whether he reported from an active war zone while covering the 1982 Falklands War between the United Kingdom and Argentina. Long story short, the moral of this article is that Bill O'Reilly is not always telling the truth. Just putting it out there. I mean, I don't know if that's a surprise to any of you guys, but it does appear like perhaps Bill O'Reilly might have been bitten by the same bug that Brian Williams was bitten by, and it was suffered from this disease of needing to sensationalize news because that's how those guys make money. So that's probably what was going on there. Okay. Huge Texas prison riot over the weekend. I think it happened actually late Thursday night and then has still been ongoing over the weekend. Looking to move about 2,800 inmates at this point. About 2,000 of them rioted. Most of them were immigrants, and this, again, was at the Willacy County Correctional Center. It erupted on Friday afternoon. There we go. And prisoners refused to eat breakfast, report for work, and then they basically breached their barracks and started lighting off a bunch of fires, and they basically burnt the facility. Anyway, it was about Sunday. They were still trying to regain control of this facility. Why is this important? Well, because it's a private correctional facility. It's run by the Management and Training Corporation. And so these are for-profit private prisons. And a lot of these prisoners had been talking for a long time about deplorable medical conditions and things like that. There's actually been an investigation from the ACLU, which by private corporations. They don't care about the people. They just want numbers so their stock looks good, and this is what happens. You get these ridiculously large violent outbursts inside of the prison, and apparently the prison is now uninhabitable, so they're going to have to move. Oh, no. Did our sound just drop off again? Are we back? I hope we're back. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what's going on today. It might be one of those days. Okay. Talking about Hillary and Clinton. I'm sorry. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama both officially charged as accessories to terrorism. I'm not making this up. Both President Obama and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton have been charged by the Egyptian government with being accessories to terrorism, specifically the slaughter committed by the Muslim Brotherhood, a group that has sold links or has solid links to Muslim terrorist organizations like Hamas. So for the first complaint, Obama was officially named as an accessory to crimes committed by the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. The charge is serious with specific dates about his accessory role and that said he cooperated, incited, and assisted with the armed elements of crimes. The other charge against Ms. Clinton accused her of working with Mahmoud, the wife of the ousted Muslim Brotherhood President Mohamed Morsi, in an attempt to overthrow General al-Sisi, the current leader of Egypt. Now, pay attention to the fact, too, that we are also working with Egypt right now to drop bombs against ISIS. So, wow, strange bedfellows that are being made by all of this political unrest going on around the world. But again, these are real charges. The Egyptian government's not messing around right now. They have really, really basically indicted both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. So, if I was those people, I probably wouldn't be traveling over to Egypt anytime soon. But that officially did happen. The United States right now considering slowing the military withdrawal from Afghanistan. United States and Afghanistan obviously nearing an agreement to rewrite key aspects of their plan for ending U.S. military involvement in the war against Taliban and Al-Qaeda fighters there in Afghanistan. They mentioned this on Saturday. So in a joint appearance, the Afghan President Ghani and visiting U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton B. Carter acknowledged that they are now rethinking the pace of the U.S. military withdrawal, the scope, and the frequency of U.S. counterterrorism raids, and whether they should keep U.S. bases open longer than projected. Although they declined to offer any more specifics, they did indicate now that a new deal could be reached as soon as next month, when Ghani is scheduled to visit Washington to meet with President Barack Obama. So, are we out of the woods in Afghanistan yet? Doesn't look like it. Anyway, there's right now 10,600 U.S. troops still in Afghanistan. They were scheduled to be withdrawn over the last 2 years, but again, looks like changes are afoot in that plan. So, potentially might be sticking around Afghanistan for a little bit longer, ladies and gentlemen. Gotta guard that opium, don't we? There was a situation that happened Saturday in Minnesota too. Minneapolis police arrested a 43-year-old man Saturday after early morning wounding of a police officer who investigators believe was shot because he was a member of the police force. So they're saying in Minneapolis right now that there was potentially a targeted police shooting. They did arrest a suspect who was 43 years old. The man arrested on suspicion of violating his probation, burglary, and aggravated domestic assault. Any connection to the shooting early Saturday still under investigation at the time of this article's printing. But according to the police officer, the officer who was shot and his partner had just handled a burglary and domestic assault call, and they were standing by their squad car at about 5 o'clock in the morning when somebody shot the officer and his partner drove him to the hospital where he was in fair condition on Saturday afternoon. But apparently the guy that they arrested was well known to police officers. He's got a pretty long history there. And a lot of time those types of people are not really mentally, stable. So, is it a targeted police attack? Probably not. Probably more, just a guy going nuts. And he was obviously at the place where they were, reporting, attempted to, intervene against a robbery and a domestic assault. And it was most likely that guy. So anyway, that's what's going on there. Let's get away from the national news right now and jump into the market stuff, figure out what is going on with our fake money that we're all clinging to desperately right now. Okay, Dow is down just a little bit, not a whole lot, about 35 points right now, still well above 18,000, sitting at 18,105. Dollar index is just up a touch today, 94.60, S&P 2101, so everything looking okay in terms of the markets there. Gold has taken another somewhat significant step back, another $3 down today, so we're sitting right at $1,200 an ounce right now. And I'll tell you what, with the gold, or with the dollar index being so high, it'd be hard-pressed to find a better chance to be getting into gold and silver than right now. $16.39 for an ounce of silver. Crude oil taking a little bit of a step back below $50 today to $49.56. That's about 2.5% down in early trading today. The euro falling just a touch against the dollar, 113.39, and Bitcoin up today to about 230. Some speculation out there about whether or not Bitcoin might actually broach that $300 mark, so we're not really sure. Okay, moving on here. Elon Musk had some pretty interesting things to say. I'll tell you what, if you're looking for some sort of investment to get into right now, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find something better than Mr. Musk's and some of his organizations. He's got a pretty healthy confidence in the future success of Tesla Motors. He actually, and this confidence was on display during a conference call that he made over the weekend. He made some pretty noteworthy comments. The most, we'll say, confident of the predictions that he was saying, he thinks that Tesla is going to be worth as much as Apple by 2025, which is just a decade away. So he's expecting about a 50% annual growth between now and 25. Again, there's nothing wrong with having some healthy confidence. That's great. That might be a little hard pressed if you think about, you know, Apple, essentially they just passed $700 billion in market capitalization, and Tesla is still only at about, well, $27 billion, so still quite a long ways to go to catch up for to catch up to Apple. But again, he is sort of a driven sort. I mean, he's got the SpaceX organization. They've got the new Gigafactory that is actually being built ahead of schedule right now. The Tesla cars are amazing. I don't know what's next for Elon. I can't even imagine. But if I had a whole bunch of money to invest, I tell you what, I would be thinking long and hard about getting in with Elon Musk for the long ride, because I think that's a pretty big deal. Talk a little bit too. Somebody asked me about the BRICS Bank a little while ago, and I just wanted to talk about it because the BRICS Bank is back in the news right now. But BRICS Bank, obviously the IMF alternative, supposedly going to enable nations to become less dependent on the global reserve currency. I think it has a lot less to do with the currency itself. I think it has a lot more to do with having an electronic connected system that will allow you guys to skirt sanctions. Because if Russia is trading with China and Iran and all these other countries that we already have sanctions on, I mean, those sanctions right now make it very easy for the powers that should be to kind of get their nose into business that it shouldn't be in. So whether or not there's value to their currency, you know, a lot of people are thinking, okay, what are their resources and blah, blah, blah. But the value is also the non-meddling of the other central banks around the world. That's a huge valuable resource. I mean, it's like you're looking at Bitcoin, you know, the anonymity portion. That's part of what makes it valuable. BRICS being anonymous to the IMF and the Troika organizations, man, that's huge. That's going to give people a lot more leverage, and it will take away a lot of the leverage of the IMF and the Bretton Woods organizations. So again, I think this BRICS thing is a lot bigger of a deal than some of our guests have thought in the past. Even Andrew Gauss was on Friday, and he just doesn't think that this BRICS bank is going to turn out to anything. And it seems, man, they're putting a lot of money and time and energy into it if they don't think it's going to develop into anything. It seems like, I don't know. Could it also be, that the IMF and Troika organizations are working with the BRICS Bank, and the BRICS Bank is kind of the beta test for getting us all back onto some kind of partially asset-backed, financial system? That makes sense to me. You know, we crashed the dollar, we crashed the euro, and then all of a sudden, oh, we need a plan B. Well, they've been working on a plan B since about 2010. So how does the BRICS fall into that? I don't know. It just remains to be seen. But I think we are definitely in the running for some major financial changes coming down here pretty soon. I think the next 6 or 7 months are going to be spectacularly interesting. Remember, we're coming into the end of the 7th year cycle and the end of the 7th of the 7th year cycles also. So lots of important things going on economically. It's a big year numerologically. That's how you say that. Anyway, BRICS Bank, IMF alternative, right? They were originally starting to put this thing together back in 2012, and then at the 2014 BRICS summit, the framework for the BRICS Bank was approved as a system of measures that would help prevent the harassment of countries that do not agree with some foreign policy decisions made by the United States and their allies. Let me just say that again. A system of measure that would help prevent the harassment. It's not about money. It's about skirting sanctions, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't matter if our money doesn't have any value. Who cares if their money doesn't have any value? The fact is they will be able to get around the leverage that the United States and all of our allies impose upon these nations. That's the value here. So again, this week, they're saying that's going to be headquartered in Shanghai, which is not the Shanghai. Hang on here. It's not the Shanghai that we're all thinking about. It's in India. Shanghai, India will serve as the first 5-year rotating president, and the first chairman of the board of directors will come from Brazil. Okay, so the Russian State Duma ratified this weekend the $100 billion BRICS bank that will then serve as a pool of money. So then I have ratified the pool of money. So the $100 billion is now here and ready to rock and roll. So, and just to put this into perspective, too, there's a fancy little infographic, which is a word for pictures with words underneath them. And let's just talk about this real quick here. The population of the BRICS banks, and we're not just talking about Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, because there are a whole slew of other countries that are working their way into this system right now. But just taking into account those five big ones, what population of the world do they represent? Well, they represent 2.998 billion people. That is 41.6% of the shared world's population. 41% will be represented by this new Bretton Woods alternative. What about GDP? Okay. Well, the GDP of those five nations is $15.8 trillion. What is that in terms of the world? Well, that's 20% of the world's total GDP. Starting to get a little nervous now, guys? Think of the threat of BRICS might just be a little bit more extreme than we thought it was? Yep. Anyway, the combined GDP of the BRICS banks in the last decade has grown 300%. Just to put that into perspective, the developed world, the quote-unquote first world nations that are not part of BRICS, we grew 60% in the last 10 years. So I'll tell you what, if you're also looking for a place to park your money internationally, I'd be looking at companies that were doing business with BRICS. And that's just that's all I know about that right now. Again, a lot of people thinking that Bitcoin might be hovering its way up to the $300 mark. I don't really know if that's true or not. Obviously, it's a little down today. What did we say? It was 234. It was about 244 the other day. So again, it's come down just a touch. So I don't know. What do you guys think about Bitcoin these days? I'm not really sold anymore. It seems to have lost a lot of its hype. I want to talk a little too about Canada. Canada, the oil companies of Canada right now, which is the world's fifth largest producer of crude, they're not showing any signs of cutting down output, despite the fuel prices and having, you know, halved in the last 6 months. According to Bloomberg data, the production in the country is expected to grow an additional 3.5% this year, as a low dollar is making the extraction process cheaper. I guess I got to start wondering about these countries that are not slow. Stuff. Did we drop off air? What is going on? Are we off? Hang on a second here. I'm going to get some feedback from the old chat room here. I'm going to continue as if something hasn't happened. Oh no, we're off air right now. Okay, guys, hang on a second. Hang on a second. We're going to Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Can you guys hear me now? Are we back? I'm hoping we're back. Are we here? I'm on now. Okay, roger that. Let me do one other thing. I got to hook up one other thing on the old Skype-a-Rooney, and then we'll be back to the news here. Just a second, man. Phones. Boom. Okay. Back in the business here. Let's talk about some tech news. Russia has now unveiled a new type of gun. and it is apparently a type of gun that can turn you into a zombie. And I'm not making this up. This is coming out of the Daily Mail. Sources in Moscow saying Mr. Putin has described the guns, which use electromagnetic radiation similar to that found in a microwave oven, as an entirely new instrument for achieving political and strategic goals. All right, so Putin added that such high-tech weapons will be comparable, in effect, to nuclear weapons, but will be more acceptable in terms of political and military ideology, because it's not right to drop a nuclear bomb on a whole city, but if you can, you know, microwave somebody individually, well, that's a little bit more politically acceptable. Anyway, plans to introduce the new super weapons were announced quietly last week by Russia's defense minister, fulfilling a little noticed election campaign pledge by President-elect Putin. Plans to introduce the super weapons, again, announced quietly last week. The development of the weaponry based on new physics principles called direct energy weapons, geophysical weapons, and wave energy weapons, genetic weapons, and psychotronic weapons, and so on, is part of the state arms procurement program from 2011 through 2020. Research into the electromagnetic weapons has been secretly carried out in the U.S. and Russia since the 1950s, but now it appears that Mr. Putin has stolen a march on the Americans. Precise details of the Russian gun have not yet been revealed. However, previous research has shown that low-frequency waves or beams can affect brain cells, alter psychological states, and make it possible to transmit suggestions and commands directly into someone's thought processes. Wow. High doses of microwaves can also damage the functioning of internal organs, control behavior, or even drive victims to suicide. Ha! So they are saying this is a pretty highly serious weapon. When it was used for dispersing crowds, and it was focused on a man, his body temperature went up immediately as if he was thrown into a hot frying pan. And they say still that they don't know enough about these weapons to use them. And even the special forces guys are having trouble coping with them. So the long-term effects not really known right now. But 2 years ago, a former major in the Russian Foreign Intelligence Agency, the GRU, died in Scotland after making claims about such weapons, making these claims to the MI6. People claimed that he was a victim of the weapons and that he said they were many, many more times powerful, more powerful than the Matrix films. I don't know what that means. But anyway, Russia has super microwave guns now, ladies and gentlemen. So just keep that in mind as we watch our government continue to impose sanctions against them and, you know, things like that. Good stuff. Good stuff. Happy to be part of this whole team. Good things. Anyway, we got to go to this break. Ladies and gentlemen, lots more news at redpillreports.com underneath the show section. Please go there. Check it out. Please show the show. Share the show and share the website with your friends and family. It helps us continue to feel good about ourselves and continue to do what we're doing. And anyway, lots more science, some good health stuff in there today too, guys. So go check all that stuff out. When we come back, Clint Richardson will be joining us. TheCorporationNation.com is his website. He also has a little radio show. We're going to be...
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys can hear us out there. We're having a little bit of technical stuff going on today, kind of weird, and I lost the chat room for a second. So if you guys are in the chat room talking to me, I can't hear you right now. I'm going to do my best to get back in there. Hope you guys are doing okay out there. Appreciate you guys sticking with us through that 3-minute break. Of course, today is the 23rd of February, and we're getting ready to go into our guest segment today. And we have a very special guest today, and I know this is a topic a lot of you guys out there have been asking us about. We've talked about it a little bit on air before, but I'm really excited to have Clint Richardson joining us today. First of all, he's got a fantastic website called The Corporation Nation, where we talk about the corporate reality of the government and the legal system and things like that. He also has a blog at realityblogger.wordpress. If you go to Start Page or Google and just do a search for Reality Blogger, you're going to find his website. Lots of fantastic information there, as well as the fact that he also does a radio show. I think it's Monday through Friday from 6 until 8 Central on republicbroadcasting.org. So again, the man touches on all kinds of fantastically interesting topics. Probably the first and foremost on that list would be these audited annual financial statements from the corporate government. A lot of people don't even know these exist. They're called CAFRs. We're going to talk about this a little bit later. But Clint primarily is a researcher. He's a writer. He's a radio personality and a filmmaker, specializing in, again, as I mentioned, the CAFRs, which are the corporate government auditing financial statements, and also the ownership stock investments of the private industry. He currently resides in Utah, where he has a fantastic view of the new gigantic NSA center. I'm sure he probably enjoys throwing eggs at that when they're not out on the rounds there. But anyway, essentially, he's a gentleman who realized there was a corporate structure going on around us, ladies and gentlemen, and decided to fight back, and has taken a lot of time out of his schedule to do the research. And it's in that vein that we welcome him to the program today. So, Clint Richardson, first of all, and most foremost, thank you very much for joining us on the program today, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, again, this whole straw man, sovereign citizen thing, I don't know if you saw in the news today, CNN's got a big report now saying that they're going to be ramping up once again the domestic terrorist task force, because apparently since 2010, there has been 24 attacks by sovereign citizen against law enforcement officials. So the issue is clearly muddied, right? We obviously, anybody who's jumped into this topic for more than a few years realize that there is a massive learning curve involved with trying to figure out exactly what's going on, as well as the fact that the government reacts to our learning and is changing the program all the time. But Clint,
absolutely,
I think what I'd really like to know from just me personally, how did you get invested in all of this research? What did you have, like an aha moment where you said, oh, this is why all of this garbage is going on? Or
yeah, I think everybody has that moment. Mm-hmm. My moment was, well, I mean, I have to go back a little farther. I lived in Manhattan on 9/11, so I watched that from my roof. Wow. The whole city was closed down. You know, I had to have three forms of ID just to get to my house because I was below the level there. And of course, all the all the food was gone after the first day, and it was just a really interesting time. I was actually really glad I was there because you got to see how it, what it's like to go through that kind of experience, which, you know, Americans don't really have that type of thing happen to them very often. So that was the sort of the first moment where I kind of realized something was really wrong. But I was, I'd since moved to Hollywood, and I was a sound designer in Hollywood, working on video games, Resident Evil and all those crazy stuff, some movies and commercials. And, you know, one day I was sitting in my office and I was listening to a radio show. To be fair, I believe it was InfoWars, but way back when, was listening to an interview with a soldier who basically, and keep in mind, I'm working on video games, making blood and guts and gore and making demons and things come to life, you know, really, right. Really good stuff. And, you know, I'm listening to this kid. He's 19 years old. He lives on a military base. He goes into work each day and proceeds to get into a basically a video game booth and fly drones in Pakistan, Afghanistan, you know,
right.
Iraq. And with a 3-second delay, he's bombing the crap out of men, women and children. Unfortunately, right. It's mostly women and children. And he talks about it just like it's a video game. Later I saw a video on it and he goes back to his wife and kids every night and as if it's normal. To have this as a job. But I realized that there's a disconnect going on, that all that crap I used to hear and call BS on about desensitization and that sort of thing. Yeah, it's actually quite real when it comes to music, when it comes to television, video games, all those stuff very much affects people's ability to empathize, ability to realize what is real and what is not. Mm-hmm. And after a while, that was sort of the point where I was about to make $100,000. I quit and became a full-time activist. That was back in 2007 or so, wow. 2008.
Right.
So, well, yeah, okay. And then I met Walter Burian, and that got me into the CAFR thing. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I want to talk just a little bit more generally about this quest that you're on to essentially sever your citizenship with the corporation, because I think a lot of people are really interested in, you know, what are the mechanics that are at work that locked you into the citizenship to begin with? You know, there's a lot of conjecture about your birth certificate and social securities and things like that. Just given the fact that there's so much kind of misinformation out there, and you've gone out and been successful to an extent with your learning. Kind of, will you just lay the groundwork for us a little bit?
There's a lot of misinformation in what's called the Patriot Movement. First of all, if someone called me a sovereign citizen, I'd sue him for defamation.
Right.
There's no such thing. It's an oxymoron.
They're
citizen and sovereign.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate
really
you saying
make
that.
Sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
So yeah, if someone calls you that, you literally are being defamed and you have the right to sue them for, there's nothing in the code that says sovereign citizen. They can't acknowledge that there's such thing as a sovereign citizen, then they'd have to, you know, accept it. So it's a lie. It's just a term they use to make people afraid, basically. Mm-hmm. So if you're called that, then they're defaming your character. They're putting a title on you that doesn't exist in law.
Right.
All right. So basically what's happening, and I just discovered that the full extent of this just recently after so many years of trying to figure this out is that we're all stuck in the law of agency.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what we believe is that because we are United States citizens, we therefore have the rights of what we view as sort of the citizens of the states, the people, in other words. And what I've found is that we are not the people. We're not acting as the people. When we hold up signs, when we picket, when we petition, when we go to court, when we do any of that stuff, we are not acting as people. And that is what really got me to really understand. We're acting in what's called an agency, an entity of the United States, which is your person. Okay. So we're all acting as agents of the United States. That means that we are domiciled in the United States. So we all live basically, in our fiction in the United States, which is Washington DC. We are therefore foreign residents of the states that we live in. Right? So what that means is that we are under Admiralty Maritime law. We are not under the Constitution. The Constitution has nothing to do with us, and you will see that over and over in courts where they say, yeah, you're bringing up constitutional issues that don't apply to you.
Right.
Well, that's because you're under international maritime law of the merchant, law of the sea. Think of it as the Great Flood, basically. The land is there, the law of the land, and your birth certificate, you know, is sort of evidence of an organization, the creation of an organization. So, I mean, basically what's happened is that all the land and the Constitution is the law of the land. Well, that's all been flooded by the law of the sea, the maritime law. We are granted vessels by the United States.
Right.
Which are called citizen ships.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We sail the law of the sea. In interstate commerce, and therefore we are under international maritime law. None of us are actually inhabiting the land of our state. And when the Constitution says, hey, there's a restriction on government for this, and there's a restriction on government for this, that's all the Constitution does is restrict government.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't count for us because we're not the people. We're not in our state.
Well, and if we're agents of the government, don't those restrictions apply to us also?
No, the restrictions only apply to the government when dealing with the state and the people. But since we are actually foreign agents in the state, we are under administrative law. So the states, think of the states as a third party.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. They have districts, federal districts, and administrative courts that deal with foreign agents. So we are literally, without even understanding or knowing it, we are basically acting as either, you know, when you go to court, they want to know one of two things. They want to know if you are the name.
Right.
I am Clint Richardson. Or if you are the agent for the name.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to certain people who've gone to court and say, no, I'm the man. I'm a man. You have no place there in court as a man. Court is not for men.
Right.
Court is for the name or the agent. The agent is another word for attorney, basically.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, basically, we're showing up. We think we're the people, but we're not. Because the people are of the republics of the state. The Constitution says we are restricted from affecting the people in each state. The states are republics. We are restricted from doing anything there. I'll pull up a couple of court cases that really explain it quite well. And it, you know, really need to understand this because it's, like I said, I feel so silly now, all of these years that I've been thinking that I've been under the Constitution or that the Constitution somehow protects me,
right.
And it doesn't. It cannot because I'm not acting in the correct capacity. And that is, I mean, it's really a horrible thought. Let me just read you a couple court cases. The United States may acquire territory by conquest or by treaty and may govern it through the exercise of the power of Congress conferred by Section 3 of Article 4 of the Constitution. In exercising this power, Congress is not subject to the same constitutional limitations as when it is legislating for the United States. You see, so we have two governments, basically. Let's see, the idea, we have in this country substantially or practically two national governments. One to be maintained under the Constitution with all its restrictions, the other to be maintained by Congress outside and independently of that instrument by exercising such powers as other nations of the earth are accustomed to exercise. So, in other words, you have the constitutional government, which nobody is under except the landholders, basically, of each state.
Right.
And then you have us, all of us, who pretend to be those people, but are not. We are acting in this external type of government that is under international law, maritime law. And so we don't have any of those rights that we pretend that we have. This is why when we go to court, we can't figure out why everything's so corrupt.
Right.
Well, it's because there is no – we're in the law of corruption and we don't know it. Literally, we are under an international structure as in an agency, and we're participating in interstate commerce, which is the law of the sea.
Right.
So that's where we're at, man. It's a very horrible thing to realize.
Oh, it's the worst. It really is the worst, because to me, when I first realized all this stuff, I mean, I started studying contract law maybe a decade ago, went out, got the Black's Laws dictionaries, really. When I realized that the nature of contract law really was the overarching, you know, condition that everything is in, I also realized that that once you recognize the truth, you have to make a choice. It really focuses, you know, you're presented with a choice. You either have to live in truth and start pursuing that, or you have to say, okay, that truth exists, but I'm going to continue to live in this lie. And you, it makes you a coward, essentially. It pushes that right in your face. You just have to make a decision as to whether or not you're going to live the lie or you're going to go move on into truth. And a lot of people can't handle that, Clint. That's a big one, you know?
Yeah. The Harvard Law Review, referring to, let's see, Harvard Law Review, our new possessions, page 481, it says, and when it's talking about possessions, talk about insular possessions, territories of the United States, etc. It says, these courts, then, are not constitutional courts in which the judicial power conferred by the Constitution on the general government can be deposited. They are incapable of receiving it. And again, if you look at all kinds of court cases where people like you and me have gone and argued constitutional theory, they'll tell you, this is – that the Constitution has no place in my court.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they will literally say that on record without any – you know, just bold-faced, without any shame whatsoever. And that's because they're not operating under the law that we think they are. Again, not constitutional courts in which the judicial power conferred by the Constitution on the general government can be deposited. Mm-hmm. They are incapable of receiving it. They are legislative courts created in virtue of the general right of sovereignty, which exists in the government, to make all needful rules, etc.
Isn't that funny? It's so funny they claim sovereignty when all the conditions of sovereignty are absolutely anthropomorphized from people. I hate these people. Well, that's another – I'm glad you brought up the sovereign citizen thing earlier, because it reminds me of these people who call themselves constitutional attorneys, and it just makes me want to pull my hair out. I didn't mean to interject. I'm sorry. Please go back to what you're saying.
So when you say constitutional attorney, people think that means U.S. Constitution.
Right.
Right? Do you know how many constitutions have been in existence? I mean, we had several constitutions before our U.S. Constitution. That's had one in every state or every colony. You had all kinds of constitutions. The Masons have a book of constitutions. I mean, constitutional law doesn't mean much, especially when you're in a state where the Constitution doesn't even apply or is a restriction to what they're doing to you.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, this is part of the illusion. This is just, as long as we believe in that old system of government that was originally created, and we believe we are in that, and we have no idea that there is a private business going on, which we are all contracted in. And see, this goes back to the birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
That birth certificate, again, really, it's not as important as people think. I mean, baptismal certificate or a Bible will actually thwart the name that is created on that. You know, the combination of the Christian name and the surname.
Right.
It's the incorporation of the name, basically, and the surname always takes the place over the Christian name. Bible is very integrated into all of this, too. So if you really want to learn the ins and outs of this, you have to actually read the Bible, too. I hate to say that, but
nothing wrong with that.
Well, a lot of people are unfortunately will not come down off the high horse, off their ego, and come to the point where they admit that the whole system of law is based on the Bible.
Well, it has to be. Without morality, I mean, that's what people don't get. Without a foundation of morality, how are you gonna mount an argument to tell somebody to stop raping your sister? And I don't mean to be so crude, but that's really what it comes down to. You've gotta have a moral foundation to create an argument to protect somebody else's minority rights. And that's where our divine rights come from. That's the whole concept.
It is. Unfortunately, what's happened with us is that every warning that's in the Bible, I mean, what does the Bible tell you? It says never be surety, never be bonded, mm-hmm. never make a signature, never take an oath. I mean, for God's sake, the whole nation is based on people taking oaths to the nation. And what does the Bible say? Never take an oath. Right. Never respect persons, never respect flattering titles. We are doing all the things that the Bible warns us about. Mm-hmm. I mean, take the religiosity out of it if you need to. Just look at what the Bible said. Go read Psalms or go read Proverbs. I mean, it tells you right there, folks, this is knowledge that was biblical times. This is passed on from generation to generation. This is the most important stuff you'll ever read, but you have to be able to read it without, consideration of the institutions that are built up around it. You know, the churches, the corporate religions. But if you can go in there and you can actually look up these terms and then compare every term from the Bible to the legal language, you're going to find that it's exactly the same.
Wow.
So
I want to get into just a couple more real specifics. We've got about 7 minutes and we're going to have to take a little break, and I want to come back. I know we want to talk a little bit about the Matrix, obviously the name of the show, Red Pill Reports, where, you know, there's going to be a nexus there. But I want to kind of just go over a couple of the quick, like, shotgunny kind of ideas. You know, the gold fringe on the flag, the true nature of the bar organization. What is the uppercase name actually in reality in your study? Just a couple of those little types of things like that. Clint, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, Bouvier's Law Dictionary, 1914, defines the law of the flag.
Right.
All right? The agency of the master is devolved upon him by the law of the flag. Remember, the master is your government. You're operating in an agency of that government as an attorney or an agent, a player, an actor, whatever you want to call it. But agency, the law of agency is really what we're under. The same law that confers his authority ascertains its limits, and the flag at the masthead is noticed to all the world of the extent of such power to bind the owners or freighters by his act. The foreigner who deals with this agent has notice of that law, and if he be bound by it, there is not injustice. So you can't, if you go into a court and there's a gold fringe flag flying, which is basically the maritime admiralty jurisdiction in the United States, the war flag,
right,
that you're not going to get injustice because you're operating, folks, under the law of agency. You are acting as part of that injustice. The maxims of law are very clear that if you're participating in fraud, there is no fraud.
Right.
You can't call something fraud when you're part of the fraud. If you're a person, if you're a name, if you have a social security number, you can't call fraud. You're part of the fraud. You have to give all that up if you're going to call it fraud. Right?
Okay.
So his notice is the national flag, which is hoisted on every sea, which is, land and sea don't mean land and sea. Land, law of the land, simply means what the court says. What's that famous term? I can't think of it right now. It doesn't mean physical land or physical sea. You have virtual waterways, which are your NAFTA highways. Mm-hmm. All right? So those are all sea. That's law of the sea. So when you hear the word sea, you can't think of water. Or you can think of water, but in the legal component. Everything in legal is artificial. It's the representation of the real.
Right.
So, again, your notice is the flag. You are put on notice with that gold-fringed flag. In Rustrat versus the People, pursuant to the law of the flag, a military flag does result in jurisdictional implication when flown. The plaintiff cites the following. Under what is called international law, the law of the flag, a ship owner, remember you're in a citizen ship.
That's right.
Who sends his vessel into a foreign port gives notice by his flag to all who enter into contracts with the shipmaster that he intends the law of the flag to regulate those contracts with the shipmaster that he either submit to or its operation or not contract with him or his agent at all. So again, the flag tells you if you're going into this court, you better establish jurisdiction. You better understand what jurisdiction you're going into and that you're acting as an agent. The trick is, the good thing about agency is that if you're an agent, you ever notice that an attorney can never get in trouble for the person he's representing.
Right.
Well, neither can you if you recognize that you're an agent.
That's right.
You're an agent for the person. You're not actually the person. If you show up to court as the agent, well, you can't be held responsible for the actions of the person. So once you figure that out, then you can get out of it, and you know, it's this whole other topic. But that's the process that I'm in.
It comes down to honor, right? Honor is the word that I keep seeing when I do all my research as to be how you, you know, delicately kind of parse your way through a court system.
Yeah, you want to keep them in honor. You want to use their law to keep them in honor, basically. And that's tough.
Right.
That's really tough.
Okay. Well, so the gold fringe flag, that's not a conspiracy. That really is an actual Admiralty maritime flag. You go into a courtroom, you know right off the bat that you're in troubled waters, I guess I should say.
Well, the flags date back from the time of the law of the, when ships were actually sailing. So yeah, it's actually, let me finish this one here. Every circumstance that connects him with the vessel isolates that vessel in the eyes of the world and demonstrates his relation to the owners and freighters as their agent for a specific purpose and with power well-defined under the national maritime law. So we have a national maritime law in this nation that is controlled by Congress, but it's the international maritime law. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. So you're sort of, it's almost like you sailed a ship onto the land.
Right.
And you're in an international maritime court. You're not under the Constitution at all.
Well, Jordan Maxwell would say, like you have said, that you're a vessel and you came out of your mother's water and now you're in a berth in your vessel, which is why you would have to have a certificate of lading or a berth certificate. I don't know if that's accurate in your opinion, but certainly
it is. I mean, the birth certificate is, let me pull up a couple definitions because, I mean, this, if you've never heard this before, it's quite a shocker. Uh-huh. And since you mentioned the matrix, well, let me go to the definition of the word matrix. Just take me a second here. Sorry.
No problem.
I'm in Black's Fourth at the moment, and it's a popular. I mean, it's what the word means. Like, I'll just give you an example. I was at a movie theater about a month ago. I don't get to go very often, but I'm standing there peeing, and you know they now have advertisements for people who are peeing. You know, these little posters.
Yeah.
And there it's talking about bankruptcy and how wonderful bankruptcy can be. And it says you can get they'll give you a free creditor matrix.
Okay.
What the hell's a creditor matrix? What's going on here? So you go and you look in Black's Fourth, it says matrix. Here's your matrix. It's really not as, it's not some computers.
I gotta stop you right there, Clint. We're going to have to come back after this break and right to the Black's Law definition of the matrix. I had no idea it was even in there. This is astounding stuff. Thank you very much for being here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go to this break. Come right back with the one and only Clint Richardson. Hope you guys are enjoying yourselves. We'll be right back, guys. See you in the chat room.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRA. Worldwide.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a 1-year supply. Your future looks really great. I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the MicroPlant Powder family. MicroPlant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MintUSA.org.
Here at MyPatriotSupply.com, our customers are number one. Built on a self-sustaining business model, we don't owe our existence to big banks or big business. Instead, the company was built by you, the customer. The success of My Patriot Supply is a testimony to the loyalty and dedication of each and every one of you, to our old-fashioned values and top-rated customer service. These elements alone have made us the number one choice of patriots everywhere. We believe that being prepared should not be a luxury reserved by people with large disposable incomes, which is why we have the products you need at the prices you can afford. We bring you our Patriot Pantry brand of storable food, which features top-of-the-line flavors and carefully packed to store for 25 years. Plus water purification systems, non-GMO heirloom seeds, survival gear, and much, much more. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com.
White Buffalo with John Phillips.
Tuesday through Thursdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. And for all of you guys hanging out in the chat room, just love seeing you guys in there. If you have questions today for Mr. Clint Richardson, please post them up in there and I will do my best to ferry them across to him during the remainder of our interview. We've got about a half an hour left. Very happy to have him joining us today. Want to recommend again that people go to thecorporationnation.com. It's a very, very good website, one of the better ones on the internet. And also go to his blog, realityblogger.wordpress.com. You could just do a quick search for Reality Blogger and you'll be able to find his link there. And also, Clint, you do a nightly show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Is that correct?
Yes, you had it right, actually.
Good.
And then 6 to 8, I always get confused by time zones.
Me too.
I usually do Eastern, so it's 7 to 9 Eastern.
Right. And is this the kind of stuff that you guys go over on your show? I mean, topics like this?
We do. It's sort of a continuum. As I learn, I teach.
I'll tell you what.
I have guests that come on and are teaching me all the time, so.
Well, you got a new listener in me today, brother. I'll be definitely checking that show out. I think that's fantastic. That's about right when I wrap up work every day, too, so it'll be nice to delve back into some stuff. So we're talking about, obviously, the straw man redemption theory and maritime law. We're kind of getting down to some of the brass tacks in terms of the details. But obviously, the name of the show, redpillreports.com. I'll give you a little heads up. I'm on the FBI watch list as a sovereign citizen, which is confusing to me because I write letters that are grammatically impossible to respond to. So I really like this topic. I find these things to be really important. And I thought for a long time the Matrix was pretty accurate. I thought, you know, they figured out a way to take the only thing of value on the planet, which is our time, talent, and energy, and use that in a covert way to basically float the fiat currency. So when I look at the Matrix, I think, wow, they've already turned us into batteries. What a great metaphor. And also, you know, given the fact that I'm not really a huge Keanu Reeves fan, but I respect the fact they only asked him to play confused. So that was one of the things that he's capable of doing. So I liked the fact that he was able to do that. But you say there's more to the Matrix. And we were just talking about the definition of the Matrix from Bouvier's dictionary, or from Black's Law, I think. And I'd love for you to kind of pick up that topic right there and just run with it if you would, sir.
Yeah, well, so we're talking about the birth certificate. How do you enter into the birth certificate, right? They plug you in, you know, right when you're born, basically.
Right.
They put you in a little pod. Well, the word matrix in the civil law is defined very, very specifically. It has two meanings, actually. One is womb.
So, what?
So the womb of the female, or it can be generally a term meaning womb. The second meaning is more important. In the civil law, it's the protocol or first draft of a legal instrument.
Wow.
Which from from which all copies must be taken. All right, so your first draft, the first thing that ever creates evidence of an organization, of a person, is your birth certificate. That's your matrix.
Right.
So that's simple, man. From that matrix, all copies are taken. It's the first legal draft of an instrument. You are a financial instrument.
Yes.
So every time you go and get, say, a social security, you go to the, when you go to get a driver's license, what do they want? They want your birth certificate.
Yep.
Right? There's your matrix. Ooh. Matrix ecclesia is the mother church. Term anciently applied to the cathedral, et cetera, et cetera. So we go back to the ecclesiastical law versus the civil law. Keep in mind that the church created the civil law. So there, when you say separation of church and state, it's kind of a strange thing. So the civil law was just created by the church, by the Roman Catholics to differentiate between what they call spiritual jurisdiction and civil jurisdiction, which is things not churchy, right. But it all comes from the church.
It's interesting. I just wanted to point out too that the word seminary means seedbed. I thought that's a kind of an interesting corollary there too, given the womb and the seedbed.
Yeah, when you start studying, that's one thing we do a lot of is studying words, etymology, and all that. And that's it. When you get down to the nitty gritty of words, it's fantastic. Just an example: signature, right? Split it apart. Sig and nature. What is nature? We know what nature is. What is sig? It's a Saxon word meaning victory.
Oh.
Victory over nature. What is person? Well, it's two words. Per the sun. What is a son? It's the son of a nation. It's not the son, who's the father? Father is another legal term. So if you're acting per the sun, you're acting as the son of a nation.
Wow.
It's just, you break these words. Alter ego is another one. Second self. The theory that a subordinate or subservient corporation may be controlled by a superior or dominant corporation so that dominant corporation may be held liable for subordinate corporation's negligence. There's your straw man.
Wow, right?
Right? Mm-hmm. All right. So now, because of the birth certificate, let me look up another definition here. Sorry. What happens is that your parents, when they do the birth certificate, it's a really bizarre thing, but you can actually find it if you look. You become an infant of unknown parentage. The best way to describe what the Bible is that the story of Jesus Christ is the story of every one of us. We can all obtain what Christ obtained. What did he obtain? He obtained the ability to walk on water. He could still touch the land. He didn't need to walk on that sea of commerce. So we can get to the point of Christ, but we have to know the story of Christ, and we have to know all of his, all the things that it says in the Bible. All transfer back over to the law. Now, what is that the parents, without knowing it, are the word delivery or delivery means to abandon. So you're born in a delivery room, all right? So again, if you think of the Matrix as just a cheap copy of several things, one of those being what the Matrix really is, your birth certificate, your birthing process, you're born a foundling, okay? So when we look at the word treasure, you find treasure, things that are found are treasure. Well, treasure is another word for thesaurus. The thesauruser and the treasurer are the same thing. So if you're a foundling, you are treasure found. All right? Foundling is a deserted, from Black's First, a deserted or exposed infant, a child found without a parent or guardian, its relatives being unknown. It has a settlement in the district where found. Well, there's only federal districts. A foundling hospital is a charitable institution which exists in most countries for taking care of infants forsaken by their parents, which being generally the offspring of illegal connections. The Foundling Hospital Act in England is one example of that. So
wow.
We are literally abandoned. Our parents don't know this. They're acting as informants.
Right.
right? So they have no idea this is happening. But when you go into the courts, here's what the courts have to say. The primary control and custody of infants, remember, infants of unknown parentage, we're all bastards. And keep in mind that, you know, and people don't like to hear this, but Jesus was a bastard. He had an unknown father. Uh-huh. We know of as God, but that's an etherical spiritual thing. So there's no physical father on earth. And he technically didn't have a mother. So he was born a bastard, right? We're all born bastards in this system. We, and this is an ancient system of pledging that's been going on for eons.
Right.
Okay. The court stands in position of the parens patria of the children. Parens patria literally means parent of the country, refers traditionally to the role of the state as sovereign and guardian of persons under legal disability. And keep in mind that an infant can be 50 years old. Okay, infant just basically means illegitimate.
Okay.
Pursuant to the parens patria doctrine, the primary control and custody of infants is with the government to be delegated to their natural guardians and protectors. That's the parents, so long as such guardians are suitable persons to exercise it. So as long as you're good little citizens, you can raise your own children. But the fact that you abandon them at birth through the birth certificate, through the womb of the state, through the matrix, you no longer actually own your children as property. You haven't claimed them as property. Now you can do that, either by not signing them up or by doing an affidavit of paternity, but nobody does that.
Well, so, I've got my good friends actually got three children, no vaccinations, no birth certificates, never been to a doctor, healthiest, smartest little kids I've ever met in my life. Yes. Absolutely amazing. But that gives us to kind of the next questions where, you know, you're stuck in this place where you've realized that you are in fact an agent of your own corporation that's operating in commerce, which is a pretty powerful position to be in once you recognize it. But how do you, what's been your tack for trying to get all of your identifiers, you know, severed? How do you go on living after you do that in terms of going to find a job and doing, you know, all the simple stuff that we still have to operate in?
That's the trick. I mean, what are we talking about? You know, going back to biblical references, you're talking about the ability to buy and sell within the matrix, right?
Yep.
Then the system of commerce. Well, is it possible to get to a point where you are in some state in between? What you really want to do is go back to being the people. You want to go back to being able to hold inheritable land. See, right now we have no inheritance because like this, well, let me give you an example. Another court case, Meadows versus Meadows. In other words, the state is the father and the mother of the child. Marriage is a contract between the woman, the man, and the state.
Right.
All right, so the natural parents are not entitled to custody except upon the state's beneficent recognition. All right, so, you know, this means that, again, we are acting in this agency, this organization that was created by the birth certificate, that matrix, that initial document. And what your goal really should be, I mean, a lot of people say, well, no, I want to be purely a Christian. I want to have nothing to do with it. But then you have no protection. So
right.
There's this sort of in-between state where you actually can become the inheritable – sorry about my phone – the inheritable people again, which means that you become a private citizen within the state and no longer a U.S. citizen. See, the irony of this, it's really funny when you think about it, is that – the Constitution does not apply to U.S. citizens because the Constitution is only a restrictive document and it only restricts itself, the government, from people who are not in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Right? So yeah. We're all in Washington, D.C. as our domicile. So, I mean, we have none of those protections. And when I say protections, I don't mean that we can claim a protection. The only thing we can do is say, well, as one of the people again, finally, I can say, well, your Constitution says you can't do that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have a right, but the Constitution says, hey, I restrict the government from doing this. Basically, so
okay.
The other aspect of this is arms, the right to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to look that up because we're told that it means guns. But you'll find that the arms of the United States is its seal, its flag and seal. So arms, the right to bear arms is your family name, your family crest, your family genealogy, Whoa. The right of inheritance, you see.
Right.
We're flying the United States arms, which is the United States flag. So there's a lot of stuff that's hidden in meaning, unfortunately. When Right. you look at the Constitution, you read all the capital words, capitalized words. Mm-hmm. Arms is capitalized, for instance. The word order is capitalized, which means Masonic order.
Right.
So anything that's capitalized, you have to look at its proper form. And arms does not just mean guns, although it doesn't not mean it. But it means specifically, when you capitalize arms, it means heraldry.
Wow.
It means, and so we have no right of inheritance. This is the problem, because we're acting as an agency of the United States. We are not the people, so we don't have that right of inheritance. So all of a sudden, if you can get back into that state of being where you are a private citizen in the state and no longer a U.S. citizen, separate jurisdiction we were talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
suddenly you have that protection and you can actually have now perfect title to land, which is not, right now all we are is tenants. Even if we think we own our land, we don't have any inheritance rights. There's no, we couldn't have inherited the land, therefore, and we bought it under our name, which is United States patent.
Right.
So we don't own anything. It's all on property of the United States through the vessel. So the only way you can do that is to get rid of that vessel, park the vessel, dock the vessel, come off your voyage, and suddenly you can now inherit land again, because you have that notion of the people.
So okay, I want to talk about how to do that, because I'm sure people want to know. But I got to ask a quick question too for all the people that are listening to this for the first time and thinking, they're thinking, why would they do this? Why was this? Was it just to keep us from inheriting land, or is it just because they can control everything this way? Why would they do this?
Well, like I said, you're talking about, I mean, I spent over a year studying genealogy and bloodlines.
Right.
All right. All your presidents are cousins of the queens and kings of England.
That's a coincidence. Obama. Come on. That's gotta be
Obama,
a coincidence.
Obama is actually a direct descendant. He's not even a cousin. So, I mean, it's not, you're talking about the same, again, ancient system of pledging that has existed for centuries and centuries and centuries. It used to be called fiefdom or fee or feudal system.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they just basically created sort of, it seems to me like people used to understand and really know that they were in the feudal system. They didn't have a problem with it because there was honor.
Right.
But in today's world, they've sort of snuck it in, and there's no honor anymore. Mm-hmm. So, as to why, you're talking about power-hungry people. How do you explain the why when it comes to people who seek power? I mean, power is automatically a corruptive instrument, so.
Right. Fair enough. Okay, we're in this mess. How do we get out of it? What do we do?
Well, I mean, I'm in the process right now. I have a friend who's recently been joining me on my shows named KW. He's out of Kentucky, and he has gone through this process. He's actually gotten me. See, the important part about this, and what people always wonder, is, well, how do I, a police officer approached me and says, you were speeding. Well, the DMV code is for interstate commerce. It's,
right.
It's purely a federal thing controlled locally at the state level for agents of the United States. Well, if you're no longer a U.S. citizen, then the DMV code doesn't apply to you. Well, okay, how do you prove that? Well, so he got what's called the most important document you guys need to learn about is declaratory judgment.
Okay.
A declaratory judgment is something that says, hey, judge, I'm not clear about my status. Will you please tell it to me? And so he's got a declaratory judgment that says he is not a United States citizen. Therefore, the DMV code does not apply. So any cop that pulls him over, is he can hand his declaratory judgment. The cop sees it and says, have a nice day.
Right.
Have a nice day.
Hmm.
So that's the important part, is having some tangible thing that shows you are not a foreign agent anymore. You're not a foreigner in the state. You are a people of the state, one of the people of the state. You are, in biblical terms, he refers to it as the wheat and the tares.
Ooh, okay.
You want to become the wheat, not the tares. The tares look like wheat, but aren't. They don't ever germinate. They don't ever become the wheat. We're all black seeds. We're all tares. We're nothing. We're absolutely acting in agency. Whereas this guy now is an heir. So he you know, when I said, when I talked about, Billy to
inherit.
Yeah. He's now an heir. He's one of the, few people in the United States, the States United, I should say, that are actually an heir because he's been declared not to no longer be a United States citizen.
How is it that he was able to get that? I mean, is that something he's got to file some paperwork with the Secretary of State or?
Years and years and years of research.
Right.
And yes, he actually sent letters from what I understand. He sent letters to all of the necessary agencies, which are the IRS, et cetera, the Secretary of State and Attorney Generals, and said, hey, do I have any obligations, debts, et cetera? And when they come back and they say no, well, then you have legal proof that there's right. nothing binding you to the system.
Right. Wow.
So it's a process, and I'm learning it. I intend fully to do it, and soon. I just am the kind of person that wants to know before I jump.
Oh, absolutely.
And absolutely. So, yeah, I'm still one of the I'm still plugged into the matrix myself.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't use any of its benefits, and I don't intend to. You know. So, yeah, that's where we're at. So, I mean, you know, it took me this long to find someone that actually knows what the hell they're doing and introduced me to this law of agency thing. As far as the Matrix movie, I'm actually writing a book, by the way, and that's one of the chapters is on the Matrix and how I was so enamored by the Matrix. The Matrix is very much like the legal law. There are no solutions in the legal law. There's no solutions in the movie itself. You have to actually look at the props. And the movie itself is a plagiarization, a big, nasty, ugly, crappy plagiarization of the three books that actually they required their actors to read before they could even read the script.
Right. I got those ordered last night, and I appreciate you sending me those recommendations.
Yeah. Well,
I was thinking, too, that they probably made Keanu read those just to confuse him for the role, just to get his head all muddled up.
I think he's a lot smarter than you probably
no,
think.
No, I know. I'm just teasing people.
And I think that's, you know, it's kind of like George Bush. If you ever see George Bush deliver a speech 5 years before his presidency, he's like the most brilliant orator you'll ever hear.
Oh,
that
right.
whole thing was an act.
Huh.
You know?
Okay.
So, yeah, when he was governor, doing the gubernatorial speech. It was incredible.
Hmm.
But Simulacron Simulation is the book I'm really talking about. The other books were Out of Control and then Psychology. I can't remember the other title. But Out of Control is written by the guy from Wired magazine. It was about systems. A beehive is a system, for instance. So you take the natural system, you combine it with the technological system, and you have a new system, thus the Matrix. Just a plagiarist, just a copy. There was not an original idea in the Matrix, believe it or not.
Really?
Nothing about it was original. And that's what really peeves me, because I worshipped that movie like so many out there. And so I feel like it's my service to people to say, look, this movie is just a cheap, cheap, cheap copy of what is real. It's designed to obfuscate. It's not designed to enlighten you. It's designed to basically make you think that there's some enlightenment, and you can watch the movie 50 times and you're never going to figure it out.
Right.
Because the answers are not in the movie. It looks like there's no redemption in the legal system. There's only redemption when you get out of them. Redemption is getting out of the artificial,
mm-hmm.
right? So in other words, we're sort of in the rabbit hole and we're looking for the entrance to the rabbit hole. Doesn't make sense. We're so far in the rabbit hole, in agency and all these different things. We're so far in the legal fiction that we don't even recognize that we're in that matrix.
Right.
Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So let me just give you a couple examples. This is from the clone story chapter in Simulacra and Simulation by Jean Baudrillard. I'm probably messing up his French name. The father and the mother have disappeared. This is about cloning. And if you think about it, what the Matrix is really showing you is when they're picking babies off the tree.
Yeah.
Is simply cloning.
Right.
The one, which is in this book as well, is basically the same clone over and over and over that has that knowledge in him that passes from cellular division to cell to cell to cell each time he's reborn in the Matrix, in the, as a, you know, it's just a, like I said, it's just not, I don't know how to say it. It's just a crappy plagiarism. The father and the mother have disappeared, not in the service of an aleatory liberty of the subject, but in the service of a matrix called code. No more mother, no more father, a matrix. And it is the matrix, that of the generic, the genetic code that now infinitely gives birth based on a functional mode purged of all aleatory sexuality. All right, that's straight from the book. So you wonder, you know, you can see that whole scene playing out right there.
Yeah.
Just from this book, and there's your matrix. The one is in here too. I don't know if I have that marked, but, says cloning also retains nothing for the same reason of the immemorial and narcissistic dream of the subject's projection into his ideal alter ego. Since this projection still passes through an image, the one in the mirror, in which the subject is alienated in order to find himself again, or the one. There's the mirror.
Yep.
Okay. There's your projected self-image that they called it in the movie.
Uh-huh.
And there's the one.
Wow.
Everybody is the one. That's the point. So that this, again, those three sentences that I just read were a major portion of that movie.
Right.
It's a cheap plagiarization. Now, Simulacra and Simulation, the book, very difficult to read. Simulation is kind of obvious, what a simulation is, but a simulacra is very hard to understand. On the back of the book, it says simulacrum is a copy without an original.
Whoa.
A copy of something without an original. If you think about it, well, that's what we are doing when we inhabit a person.
Right.
We're pretending to be a citizen, but there's no original for what we have. We're in this maritime strangeness, and it's a simulacra. We believe that we're constitutional beings, and yet we're not. We're a copy without an original.
So I just want to clarify. So metaphorically, though, you think it's fairly accurate. You're just upset that they lifted it from somebody else and passed it on as their
own. I'm upset that they, okay, first of all, they, again, there's nothing enlightening in the movie. It feels enlightening. It's a simulacra of enlightenment. It's
okay.
A simulation of enlightenment, but it doesn't do anything to wake anybody up. Instead, it confuses people. They use it as the theme of their shows and their movies and their books and their, but nobody actually knows what, it's just kind of like the citizen thing. Nobody knows what the hell they're talking about.
Hmm.
Because the movie itself doesn't show you anything. But if you notice, see, the brilliant thing is, you know, I was so enamored by that movie and I knew there had to be an answer in there. I went frame by frame. And I looked, and this simulacra and simulation was a hollowed out book in the movie. So this,
it was
a hollowed out box and it said simulacra and simulation on it. It's where he put his money and where he kept his, discs when he was making that.
I guess that's where he hid all of his computer stuff.
All the artificial stuff, all the simulated things, money and computer disc, right in the box,
wow.
Right in simulacra.
Clint, thank you so much for joining us. We're just about out of time, man. You take care and have a wonderful day.
All right. Take a
look. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Man, we are just about out of time.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.